That truth never changes. He loves us with an eternal love. Man's love can change. We see that all the time, but thank God for His. I want you to open your Bible to a very hard place to find, Genesis. I'm going to ask you to go to Genesis chapter 2, I believe I'm looking for. Genesis chapter 2. And familiar story. You know, you have the story of Adam and Eve ridiculed in secular world, but I believe it just like it's written in the Bible. It's the Word of God, and God said what He meant what He said. And I'll tell you this, if you'll stick by the doctrines you'll find in the early chapters of Genesis, you'll find it's the seedbed of truth in the Bible, and it's not only the starting place, but it lets you know the foundation of things. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning on the desire for knowledge. Look at it here in chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in a couple of verses in chapter 2, and I'm going to jump over to chapter 3. Look with me in verse 15. And the Lord took the man and put him in the garden, into the Garden of Eden, to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Pick it up with me in verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts or any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat it of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. She added a little bit there, didn't she? I added the touching part. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, it's a familiar story. Sometimes you hear a little joking about it. Sometimes I have folks that ask me questions. Sometimes, I don't know, pastors hear questions sometime and wonder, what in the world's it got to do with anything? But we try to answer them anyway. Amen? Somebody said, well, when was Adam created? Well, he was created on the sixth day. That wasn't good enough. They said, well, what time was he created? I said, I'm not sure, but it was a little bit before Eve. You learn to answer things, you know. Anyway. You know, the woman is described in the Bible, and ladies, you're never stronger than when you take the biblical position. And the Bible describes you as the weaker vessel. I remember a lady one time that was wanting to get married. And she came in counsel, and this is truth now. She came in counsel with me about it, and she was a good-looking lady. She was fine, but she's beginning to get a little older after she thought, you know, how come I'm not married? And she was very athletic. She was a good ball player and other things. You know what I finally told her? I said, look, you better let these guys know that you can't beat them up, that you won't beat them up. They're not going to marry you if you can flip them over your shoulder and throw them around. I said, quit worried about whether you can score touchdowns or knock home runs and act a little weaker. Act like a little more feminine-like. Amen. I didn't cost you nothing. If you'd went to a psychiatrist, you couldn't have got that for a price. Amen. Well, I want you to notice what Eve made a mistake. She chatted with the devil without her husband there. Good warning, ladies. Some of you ought to stay out of the chat rooms. All right. You'd be surprised as a preacher how many times I know where trouble started because some woman got, and this is the term they use in England for it, chatted up. Chatted up. And you know what that means? It means some fellow out there trying to seduce some woman, and he does it through the talk. Isn't that what happened with the serpent here in the garden? Huh? Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was. But you know, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil's involved here. And it was the forbidden tree. They were told to leave it alone here. But you know, man is still doing just what Adam and Eve did in the garden, and that is trying to cross the forbidden line. You know, a man's an interesting fellow. He wants to know what he's not supposed to know. And what he does know, he don't do what he's supposed to know. That's where we all come in to a great degree, just like it started here in the garden. And they was crossing a forbidden line here. It was not supposed to do it. And of course, the Satan knew that. And so he questioned God's word. He got Eve involved in a dialogue. And yes, she, the Bible says that Adam was not deceived, but she was deceived. And Adam partook, and we won't get into that. But the truth is, he was the head of the federal race that caused us all to fall. Over knowledge. Serpent said, you know, you'll be wise, you'll be like gods, and knowledge. You know, we live in the day of knowledge today, don't we? I mean, we live in the computer age. We live in the time Daniel prophesied that many would run to and fro and knowledge would be increased. And I don't understand much about them, but Brother Baker back there told me that the oldest computer was in the Garden of Eden. That's what he told me. He said it was an apple. He said it didn't have much memory, just one byte. Then he told me it crashed everything. I tried that on the boys at the radio station. They didn't appreciate it, but you're a much better audience than they are, amen? But you know, we're often found guilty of rejecting what God wants us to know and trying to find something out we're not even supposed to know that we can't use. It's no good for us. In this case, of course, it threw the whole human race into the fall of sin and all of that. I want to talk to you. There's some things I do know. There's some things I don't know. There's some things I'm supposed to know. There's some things I'm not supposed to know. And I can always, and you can too, ask more questions than we can answer. I want to say a few things about it for just a little while this morning concerning this thing of desire for knowledge. To begin with, I want to say, and some of you are asking me, and preachers are being asked this all over the time, what's going on in our world? What's happening in our society? What is this society going to amount to? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know for sure. I see chaos everywhere I look in this day and time, and it's the result of rejecting God's laws, God's word, God's command. You know, you look in the news and you see the revolution that's going on. It is a revolution in our country going on. It's crazy. It much of it borders on blasphemy. I saw on the news the other night, they were showing this town hall and everybody's showing up, hollering at the speakers. The speakers don't get to say anything. Just a mob showing up and creating all kind of disturbance. And I saw where the pastor had been invited to get up and open in prayer. I've done that many times myself at meetings. And when he got up to pray, the crowd started hollering at him and wouldn't even let him pray. And then he committed the unpardonable sin. He tried to end his prayer in Jesus' name. And they went nuts over that. In America. That's a shocking thing to you and I. How in the world could that be? But we look around and we see a revolution, as it were, going on against God. Anti-God's values is what we're talking about. Anti-God's word. We look around and see the homosexual support today. That is contrary to God's word. God calls it an abomination. We look around today and we see every kind of thing that is going against what God said. And man's wanting his own knowledge. But you know, the Bible says, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. And there's a knowledge coming from the devil out there that brought sorrow into the Garden of Eden. And it brings sorrow into a lot of lives. And a lot of young people learned that the hard way. And it's too bad. We look around our world today and we see the one worldism thing growing. Open our borders, all that business. Socialism, That's redistributing the wealth. Let me translate that for you. Somebody says, wouldn't that be good? No, try Cuba if you think it was good. Go back to the old Soviet Union. Go back to the communist countries. You wouldn't want to do that. You got an elite few up there that's rich. You got the very, very poorest, but the middle class is pretty well wiped out. I think it was Margaret Thatcher of England that said the trouble with socialism is that sooner or later you run out of other people's money to give away. And she was so right on that. There's a fellow that's financing a lot of this mob stuff in America, George Soros. Most of you know that name. What you don't know about him, as a teenager, he was a Jew in Hungary that helped turn in his own people to Hitler. And he wants to tear down the borders and make the whole thing socialism and all of that business in America. And that's a terrible thing. And folks say, where is it going to end? Is it going to end in civil war? Well, I don't know exactly how that would come about. I did read, you did too, where California is talking about seceding from the Union. Now, if we could get just a few good friends I got out there out, I'd be willing to let them go. In fact, what might be a good idea is when we build that wall, just come on around with it. I know a few good churches and preachers out there. I'll let them out first, but otherwise, all joking aside, folks, we're in a real mess with this thing. When we're talking about letting the illegals, even no matter what they've done, how they've been deported, and back and forth, and we're going to put them in sanctuary cities, and now even talking about a sanctuary state where they can get in, it's a crazy thing. It's going on. And I can't answer the question as to where society is going, except as long as they go against God, they're going to get in trouble, just like Adam and Eve did when they broke God's word. God's not going to change his word. He's not going to accommodate you or I so we can just do what we want to do. What he said is still true and always will be. And he's going to measure us by that. I think about this thing of man seeking after knowledge. I think about the mess society's come in as it's turned from the true knowledge of God. But I'll tell you one thing I know. I know that it proves God's word is true. Somebody says, well, they broke the law of God. No, the law of God broke them. That's the way it works. And it proves God's word is true. What God predicted will happen. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, in the last days, perilous times will come. It goes on to say, men will be lovers of themselves, and they'll be boasters and disobedient to parents. And it just goes on and on, but it describes your headlines in your paper just as clear as possible. And in Romans chapter 1, you read over there where they knew about God, but they didn't like to keep God in their knowledge. So the scripture says in Romans 1, God turned them over to a reprobate mind. We're living in the days of the reprobate mind. That's why some of the stuff that's going on, we just can't hardly imagine it. In fact, Brother Don Boyce preach here the other day, and he shoots out a little information sheet every now and then to some of us preachers. I've got one stuck in my Bible somewhere if I can find it here. And some of the stuff that's going on, and he writes and researches some of this stuff, is amazing. I got his note right here in my hand. It says, recently the famous Calvary Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., shattered the glass ceiling by calling as their pastors Sally Surratt and Maria Swearington to occupy the pulpits. But of course, they made sure they were married first. So they now have two lesbians married as the pastors of the church. It's amazing, folks. It's amazing. One of the speakers for the church spoke to the newspaper, said, we're very excited. The church was very impressed with their deep faith and commitment to being a part of the gospel community. That's so contrary to the word of God. That's the reprobate mind I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. And I could go on some of this stuff I wouldn't even read right here. Here's one here. Lutheran pastor, Dr. Ralph Underwager, was asked, is choosing pedophilia for you a responsible choice for the individual? His answer, certainly it is. Pedophiles can boldly and courageously affirm what they choose. You know what a pedophile is, don't you? That's a child molester that ought to be in jail if you let him live. He goes on to say, they can say what they want is to find the best way to love. He says, I believe it is God's will that there be closeness and intimacy, unity of the flesh between people. Hey, this is in churches, so-called. So-called. It's amazing. I could go on and I wouldn't read this next one in a mixed audience. It is so bad. They don't want to procreate, so they say any form of sexuality is better than having babies, but they kill the babies too. It's too much to read right here. I'm just saying to you, God predicted in the last days perilous times would come. It categorically lists all this bad stuff that you and I are seeing, and the sad part is we're told to accept it, to not stand against it. We're the enemy if we stand against it. And we look around today, and I know God's word is true. I see the nations gathering for the nuclear war. It is coming. I'm sorry, folks, but it is. How long? I don't know. Russia's having hooks put in its jaws right now, and some of our politicians are good at doing that. We're going to wind up fulfilling the Bible. It's going to happen. Iran and Israel and all of that business that's predicted in the Bible. And what you got right now is American politics so crossed up. We're so fighting among ourselves. I saw a little documentary on African animals one night, a little bit. You know, it was out in the jungle there, a little road. And it showed two little buck deer fighting each other. They were locking horns. While they were fighting each other, a big old leopard just walked down the road and grabbed one of them. I thought about America. We're just that stupid. We fight among ourselves and don't see the enemy coming. Don't know what's going to happen. It is an amazing, sorry thing. But the good news on it is I know some things, and one of the things I know is God answers the prayers of his people. And that's the only reason America hadn't totally gone under right now, is the salt and light of God's people still preserving. You know, we see answered prayer. We see it in our church. We see it on our prayer list over and over. Not everyone. God's answers, he answers all the prayers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes no, and sometimes he says wait, but he still answers them. And he's a prayer answering God. We saw that last night at the Restore-a-thon, didn't we? I mean, I sat there in that chair with those guys, and they put those figures on the window, and some of those young guys, I mean, they're really talking. I mean, they got the energy, and they're hollering at you to give. And my wife and I were eating a sandwich at noon yesterday and listening to them talk on the radio, and one of them said something really stupid. And she laughed, and I said, he don't know what he said. You don't have any idea. Nobody else did. Nobody heard him but you. Well, it's not quite like that, but we had quite a time and quite a great spirit with it. But the bottom line was God really did answer prayer, didn't he? And especially there at the last, he was answering it all the time. But I know that the Lord answers prayer, and I've seen that with our prayer list. I've seen that with big things. I think God's answering prayer today over the nation of Israel, because the whole world is trying to get rid of them. And yet, where they're at and what they're doing is fulfilling what the Bible said. We got some knowledge by what we look out there and see that God predicted he would do. And certainly that is true with Israel. I know some of you might not even remember this, but there was a six-day war in 1967. There was another war called the Yom Kippur War in 1973. And this was a time when Israel was on their religious holiday, one of the most important in the world, and Egypt and Syria and nine other countries suddenly, by surprise attack, hit them. And it looked like that they were going under. There was no way they could be surprised like that on a religious holiday. Israel's army is made up of militia. Remember, Scotty, how even our guide, when we were over there, had to keep his rifle somewhere pretty close because on a moment's notice, he would have to go in. But they had a militia like that. And all of a sudden, they're all enjoying the religious holiday, and they get hit by surprise by the Arab nations. And it looked like they were going under. Richard Nixon was the president at that time. And Golda Meir was the prime minister of Israel. She called Nixon on the phone at 3 a.m. in the morning to tell him if America didn't send them the munitions, they were going under. And Richard Nixon, who a lot of folks didn't think was that much of a friend of Israel, gives a testimony about it that's interesting. He said when he was a little boy, he was raised as a Quaker. He was raised, had a good Christian mother. And he said, when I was a little boy, mother used to tell me, one day you're going to be in a powerful position. And when you're in that powerful position, there'll be a time that the Jews will cry out to you for help. And when that time comes, you help them. She spoke prophetically. He said that night when the 3 a.m. phone call came from Golda Meir, he said, it was Golda Meir on the phone, but I heard Mama's voice. And he did. He sent in the munitions, and Israel turned the war around and conquered all the territory and done all of that business. I'm simply saying to you, God can still answer prayer. Amen. You know, interesting thing today, people forget God's still in charge. And all this blasphemy and all this attack on God, everybody says, well, where's God? I'll tell you where he is. He's getting all of it. He's not missing a thing. And pretty soon the shoe's going to be on the other foot. It's going to come that time. I believe he's coming back soon. I know you do. I know I'm preaching to the choir on that. And you know, even the world today, do you know the unbelievers have already prepared an answer for when God's people disappear? Oh, yeah, it's out there. You'd be surprised if I named, and some of you ladies get mad at me, some of the ones you watch on TV and listen to them talk and gab and all that junk, they're into the New Age thing. And they've already prepared an answer for God's people being called out at the rapture. Here's the answer. And I read this years ago, sitting in a dentist's office reading a magazine, and now it's been developed. And so the New Agers have this answer. The Bible tells us that when we're taken, when we're gone in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, they're going to have to make an explanation. For one thing, America will no longer be a world power at that time. When the saved folks are called out, brother, we will hardly be a third world country left here. But the answer is going to be that the space brothers up there that's controlling everything has picked us bad guys out, taken us up to retrain us because we're the world's problem. You say, nobody believe that. They already believe in it. That's the answer that they want you to accept. And what does the Bible say about it? The Bible says God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. Those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ now, turn him down as Savior, will not serve him as Lord, they're going to buy into some other answer, and it's a false answer. They're going to be as much deceived as Satan deceived Eve out there in the Garden of Eden, and they're going to have that strong delusion. And God says, they deserve it. I'm going to let them believe it. They're going to believe the lie, and what a lie it is. But you know, he's coming soon. He's promised he would. You know that the Lord Jesus has some unfinished business he left? Now, he finished paying for our sin on the cross. He said it is finished. He paid it all. All to him we owe. We can't add a thing to that. We understand that. But his unfinished business is to come back and set up his kingdom. And he's going to do that. I mean, we pray the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. That's going to happen one day, folks. It's going to happen. He's coming back to set up his kingdom. And We're seeing a lot of interest in the so-called end of the world today, and Nostradamus, he's getting quoted right and left. Nostradamus don't know from nothing. What you've got is people reading junk and implying he said this, that, or the other. If he got anything true at all, he got it out of the book of Revelation. And most of it is just people's interpretation. But I do find it interesting that one guy now that claims to be a spokesman for him is saying it's all going to blow up in 2017 or 18. Well, it's going to blow up, but it won't be because he said so. And I don't know what year it's going to be, but God will be in charge of it when it happens. I know the stage is set. I know the timing looks like it could be any time, and it could be any time. Brother Walt Shepherd was with us and did the thing on the star map, the witness of the stars, and did a really good job for us and pointed out how many things are converging together this September on Rosh Hashanah, the Jews' Feast of the Trumpet. I say amen, that'll be good. I could wait that long if he'd just hurry up, but tomorrow would be better. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of things, conversion, that the Bible talks about would happen and are happening. And that's our blessed hope, but Jesus is coming if we're saved. My friend, if you're not saved, it's not your blessed hope. It's your doom. You're going to be left behind. You're going to leave your loved ones and never see them. They're going to leave you and you'll never see them again. You're going to another place where they're not going. I'm talking to you about something serious. In a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, it can happen just that quick. Just that quick. That's what the Word of God says. A lot of things, conversion, together. Coming all together. Even this coming September, a lot of folks are talking about that. It's gelling together all at once. For instance, with the Jews and the religious holidays, and people know the Jew as God's time clock, what he did with Israel. For instance, there's very likely, we believe, 2017 is the Jubilee year, the 50th year. Some think it's 2018, but it's close, pretty close on it. That's one of the things that's gelling, coming together, moving together. And you know, Jesus said, talking about when they asked him about his second coming, he said, this generation shall not pass. And there's a lot of argument about how long a generation is, but he's saying the generation that begin to see these things, when they begin to see Israel come back to the land, when they begin to see the fig tree bud, and it did bud on May 14th, 1948, when the Jews raised their flag again over Israel, and many people say, okay, a generation from Psalms 90 around verse 10, remember 70 years? 70 years? Well, you add 70 to 1948 when the fig tree budded, when the flag of Israel went up again for the first time in 2,500 years that they'd been scattered. Add you 70 to 1948 and you come up with about 2017, 2018. So that's okay with me. I got saved a number of years ago. If you're saved, it ought to be okay with you. I'd like to see everybody else get saved, but I've been doing my job for a long time telling folks to get saved because Jesus is coming. I won't have anybody's blood on my hand that way. I've been telling it. I've seen some folks saved, and I've heard some folks say no. That's what you'll do today. You'll say yes or no. Or the world wants to trick you with its, get you to search after their knowledge. And just go after that in many cases even forbidden, instead of doing what you know. You don't have to be real bright to understand that you didn't get here by accident. You got a maker, and you got a maker to face. You don't have to be a missile scientist to know that you cannot save yourself, that you have sin. You've come short. I sat on an airplane side of a missile scientist flying out to Dallas, Texas from the Cape over here. We talked about Jesus and he told me how he was saved. See, somebody said, well, intellectuals don't get saved. Some of them do. Some of them do. It's not how educated you are, how much knowledge you got. Have you got faith that the Son of God loved you, died for you? Will you accept him by faith? Will you let him be your Savior? I want to tell you what. Somebody says, well, all right, those Christians aren't very smart. I don't know. Who's the dummy when it's all said and done? Who's the dummy that goes to hell instead of heaven when Jesus paid his price that he could have been forgiven and go to heaven? I ask you this morning, be honest with yourself. You know, the devil tricked Eve because he tried to get her interested in some knowledge she didn't need, and he lied to her. And that's exactly what's happening in the world right now. And there's a lot of folks being deceived the same way that Mother Eve was. Don't let it happen to you. Yes, things are moving fast. Yes, the news is bubbling over. Yes, we can't understand how it could get so bad so quick, but it has. And the good news is, though, God is still God, and Jesus still paid for your sins, and you can still be saved, and you can still know it if you let him be your Savior. Have you let him be your Savior? I hope you have. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would you lift your hand and say, preacher, I remember when I trusted Christ. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know it for sure. Would you lift that hand this morning? Would you do it? Hold it up there. Aren't you glad that you can lift it? Do you remember when you couldn't lift it? I certainly do. I'm glad you can lift it this morning. I'm glad there's a time you're thinking about right now, back when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Thank you. You may put them down. Are you here today and you say, preacher, I'm going to be honest with God. I couldn't lift my hand. I've never received his Son as my Savior. If I died today, I fear that I would not go to heaven. But preacher, when you pray, have me in mind that I'd have the courage to accept Christ. Would you slip that hand up? I won't come to you. I'm looking. God's looking. Nobody else. Our heads are bowed out in the audience. But would you slip that hand up? You say, I care about my soul. Preacher, when you pray, think about that hand that you saw that was lifted. Would you lift it right now? Would you do it? Just the very fact that we can get a room this big with this many people in it and try to tell somebody about Jesus to get them saved, and they don't care enough about their soul to even lift their hand for prayer, is telling you what condition our nation's in right now. That's too bad. That's too bad. I hope everybody in this room is saved, but everybody in this room couldn't lift their hand that they're saved. But you're counting on some knowledge you've picked up from the world, from somebody else, from some TV program, from something you've read or something you've heard, and you're trusting a false knowledge right now. It's not knowledge. It's deception. It's not of God. It's that old serpent in the garden deceiving you just like he did Mother Eve. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, I didn't see a soul raise their hand that they were lost. But Father, you look past hands and you look on hearts. And I pray this morning, Father, as we sing a verse of invitation song, that one without Jesus, or however many without him, would step out and come forward and receive him today and have the peace in their heart of knowing they're saved, their sins have been forgiven, their names written in heaven. Father, I pray for that daddy, that young man. I pray for mom. I pray for that young person. Father, you know every heart. I pray not one would leave this building lost today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to step to the front here in just a moment. Song leader is going to lead us in a verse of song, and we invite you to leave that seat. Come down the aisle and take the preacher by the hand and say, I want to be saved right now. I want to know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Will you do it?